Welcome to the Fill Your House with Books podcast, where we talk about Christian and wholesome children's books and all things family discipleship. Hello, hello everyone! I am very excited about today's episode. So I was thinking and pondering what topics should we start this podcast off with. And there's so many things that come to my mind thinking books and family discipleship. And so today I'm going to be sharing favorite devotionals that we have been using in our family. Books that I have been using with my daughter specifically. My son is not two yet, so those experiences are mainly with my daughter and also children that we would have over, or my husband and I's opinion on those books and our favorites here in our family. So I'm really excited to share those books with you. I was going through my bookshelves and thinking which ones I would introduce to you, and I came up with a big stack of books that I have right in front of me. So before I get into our personal favorites, let us talk a little bit about what devotional time can look like, what it looks like for us. I think it's something that we all in our, you know, Christian families have discussed or thought of in a way, and there's so many different possibilities of creating a devotional time in our family. So the first thing that comes to my mind is the general idea of a family altar, which is different to what I'm going to introduce to you today. I feel like it's a different concept. So family altar, how I would identify it, is the time of the entire family, especially with the dad present too, if possible, a time in which we go into the Word together, have a time of prayer, a time of intercession. There could be a time of testimony, a singing together, singing a hymn, singing worship songs together, reading from a devotional altogether. There's many different ways. I love also including creative things into a family altar time. There can be, for instance, the writing down of praise reports. I have heard of like little jars in which you collect testimonies, and then at the end of the year for Thanksgiving, for instance, you can look at all those little paper pieces and remember testimonies that the Lord has done in your life. There are so many amazing things, and in the next couple of episodes, it's one of the main things that I want to talk about on this podcast and interview other parents and authors on, is how can we create a time in our family, a time of worshiping the Lord together, because I believe it's very, very foundational to have this faith foundation in our family. I feel like, and I know from the Word of God, that what we pass on to our children is foundational for our children, for their minds, their hearts, their souls, their spiritual life. I know that there's a responsibility that comes with the church and let's say youth leaders, children's church leaders, and wonderful ways of them pouring into our children. But I am strongly convinced from how I see the Word of God that we as parents are the primary caretakers of our children, and this should not feel like a burden that is crushing us, but more like a responsibility that's a privilege. So I think we young families especially just need practical advice and people that have sort of walked the walk and have gone before us and can give just practical advice there. So this is the family altar time that I'm definitely going to be talking about in the next several episodes. The time of devotional time, let's call it a time of devotion, devotional time with our children, that I want to talk about today, is something that we do on a daily basis. We are a homeschooling family, so we've always done, ever since my daughter was 1 year old, I believe, and, you know, starting over breakfast, that's still how we do it, is a time of just reading from a devotional, from a book that we use as a devotional, and just kind of starting off the day that way. reading from the Word of God. Also, we've been including worship and a hymn in that time. There's so much to do for morning time to really start the day off with the Lord. And for me, it just really, I don't think that there's one time in the day that's particularly better than others. I think families need to figure out what works for them. But I just definitely recommend you trying out a specific time so that you sort of, you know, you know you'll sit down for breakfast, or you know you will have bedtime reading time. Try to really add it to that time, to really say, whenever we eat breakfast, that's when we're going to open up a devotional and read together. So children as well as parents can really get used to it. It's like Charlotte Mason would say, a habit that you're establishing, a tradition, a routine in your family. It helps children to be prepared, and it helps parents to be prepared, and it will get done more frequently. I just see that from so many things that I want to add to my home life, to my parenting life, to my homeschooling, things that I have on my heart. If I don't really get down to it and decide that's what I'm, when I'm actually going to do it, it will happen way less frequently. Contrary to things that I purposefully sort of schedule into my day, they will happen much more frequently. Of course, it will never be perfect. Perfection cannot, you know, that desire for perfection will be one of our biggest enemies in anything family discipleship. But as long as you have sort of, you've made up your mind, you will take initiative for a certain time in the day that you will have a devotional time. Or the same with family altar, you decide, okay, every Sunday we're going to try to do it. Try to be even more specific and say right before bedtime, we're going to take those even 10 minutes and have a family altar together. This will really be a very, very great help and will be much more effective than saying, yes, we got to do this more often, kind of with this little bit of a guilt feeling in the back of our head. Yeah, I got to do this. I have to do this. I need to. No, I want to encourage you that this has been helping us to be much more specific. So talking family morning time devotion. So during the week when my husband is at work, this will just be me and the kids. Or prior to my son being born, me and my daughter would do that time together. On the weekend, my husband would join in. Nevertheless, it was mainly between me and the kids this time, simply because of his work hours. So we have used a variety of books, actually, that we open up in the morning to just dive into the Word of God and dive into the truths of God's Word. So I just wanted to give you many different ideas. Maybe there's a certain way that you have been doing this and you want to try out something new. There are many, many different ways to expose our children to Bible stories and to Bible doctrine and to themes. And I love switching things around for that. And just so you keep in mind, this can be done any time of the day. I also really like to say this is something I will do during my, you know, the toddler's nap time. We've been doing our read aloud time for stories and picture books that time, or to say we're going to have that time before bedtime. For us, what I'm going to share now is what we have been doing over breakfast, basically meaning while the kids eat breakfast, I would have the book open and talk about it and read it. And also one thing to keep in mind is that does not take long. So we would maybe spend up to 10 minutes doing this prior to my baby being a toddler. And now with his attention span and all of that and interruptions, it maybe comes down to 5 minutes that we really actively study Bible stories and doctrine at the breakfast table. And I think many families don't start because they think they're not qualified enough, equipped enough, or kids would never listen. But again, it's really just a few minutes that you invest in. I think it's that way with many things that we want to pour into our children, that the actual investment of time is not that big of a deal. And usually we just need to get started. And then the second and third and fourth time around, it will already feel much easier to be done and to accomplish. So let me start with our absolute favorite book that I think is only available used at this point. I found it at Goodwill actually years before I had my own child, before I became a mommy. It's called the Bible Time Nursery Rhyme Book. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to link all these books. I'm going to put author and title and links to those books in the podcast notes and also on Fill Your House with Books Instagram page and Facebook page, because that's probably the way you will connect with me, is through those platforms. And so I cannot show you pictures on this podcast, but I can introduce the book to you. And the Bible Time Nursery Rhyme Book is delightful because what it is it's a collection of Bible stories as well as, I would say, biblical principles written for the very young and all in rhyme. So poetry, a big thing. We all sort of want to include it into our life. I believe most moms that I know would like to read it more to their children. But sometimes we just don't know where to start with poetry. And so I really appreciate it when biblical resources are written in rhyme. So this book is just lovely. You also find on every page, every theme, every story has scripture to it. So you can always see sort of what it is based on. So there are stories about Noah's Ark, about the creation. Also very simple little made up stories such as God gave us colors. And then let me read to you this rhyme. God gave us blue and the sky up above. God gave us red and the apples we love, and so on. And then I'm so glad we have colors so bright. God could have made our world all black and white. And then the Bible verse that goes with this page, it's also beautifully illustrated. It goes Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful. So I try to really read aloud those Bible verses too. Of course, this is not the same as reading a Bible story, but I really believe in that there's a feast with spreading. I love that phrase. I think we're spreading a feast for our children. So to only do stories like that would not be enough, but to add it on to a very rich exposure to the Word of God, to Bible stories and to doctrine, I think is beautiful to just celebrate the fact that God gave us colors. I think that that is deep. I think that this is profound, even though it is a made up poem. But I think we can be much more free as parents to appreciate resources as long as they are biblically accurate, of course. So there are also, like the one on Noah's Ark we read yesterday, just very, very beautiful. How it says, so build an ark like a big, big boat and seal it well so it will float. So Noah followed God's command and built an ark upon dry land. And again, the illustrations are beautiful. So when there's not that much text on each page, so what I would do, and I will try to mention this many times on this podcast because it's my favorite thing to do, is to have one of those, I think you usually call them cookbook stands. We have this wooden one that you can display books on. So we would put one of these books, like this one, for instance, I would put up in a cookbook holder for the children to look at and to just see the picture and for me to be able to read it out loud while I use my hands to feed children or eat myself and just kind of talk about it and really, you know, slowing down, and we don't have to rush through anything, but we can sort of study it. So that's something I love, and I do not think that this is only for little children. My daughter is 7 now, and we, like I said, we just read this one morning time, and of course sort of like thinking back to her childhood years, but still, you can never be too old for the truths of God's word. So let me read to you a part of my favorite page here. The illustrations are gorgeous again. You will probably guess what parable this is on. It's called Foolish Man, Wise Man. There once was a foolish man who built his house on a pile of sand. The rain came down one stormy day and washed his sand pile all away. And then, of course, the wise man built on a solid rock with a bang, bang, bang and a knock, knock, knock. A storm came up and the rain came down, but the wise man's house stood safe and sound. And then the Bible verse with it, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So here I want to say something too about sort of the topic, is it deep enough? Is there enough scriptures in a text, in a devotional? My personal conviction is that there are books that are straight up unscriptural. So I would not read to my children something that avoids important facts. Like, I know there are Bible translations I've heard of that would not mention the word blood, whereas it's completely necessary to teach our children what does it mean that the Lord died for us and that he was resurrected, all those things. I know certain topics, you always have to see the maturity level, the age of the child. But what I'm trying to say is resources need to be biblically sound. But if a resource is written like what I just read to you in a way that is easily understood for a child, but I maybe feel like, oh, I would like to go into this and say what else the Holy Spirit will put on my heart about this specific parable here, how Jesus is the rock. And I would probably say something like, what does it look like for us to build our life on the rock? What does that mean? Who is the rock? Like, I'm using this book as a resource, as a helper. I'm not saying book, teach my child. I am not believing that this book in itself will produce something. I can only use it as my helper. So it should point me and my children to the Word of God, and it should only be a starting point. And I see it this way also with children's Bibles, and I encourage you to see that perspective too, to see it as a tool, as a resource. And again, we have to be very wise and we need to have open hearts and open ears as far as is that doctrinally sound and biblically, you know, true. But again, when there's a story where maybe some believers or some families would say, this is not enough, I want more, then feel encouraged to pour this extra portion that you have on your heart to share about this biblical story, pour it into your children and use this book more of as like a starting point. The same also with devotionals or children's Bibles that seem very simple or very short. I think I have some to show you there too. Whenever I talk about children's Bibles, like the Rhyme Bible or the one by Nick Butterworth, the stories that Jesus told, they're quite short. Also the Read Aloud Bible Stories by Moody Publishers, they're short. But I think that just the fact that, you know, Jesus walked on water, or Jesus stilled the storm, or Jesus fed the 5,000. Yes, you can say it in a very short way. The story might be very short, but it's profound. It's a miracle the Lord did, and we can always get into this. We can share testimonies of how the Lord worked in our life. We can use it, like I said, as a starting point. So do not be distracted by, don't let it confuse, you know, don't be confused by, okay, this book looks like it's aimed at younger children. There are many books that are very useful, and picture books too, with maybe short texts that are still very powerful, that have very, very great content for older children. And truthfully, for us as parents, I need to be reminded of what it actually means for me personally that Jesus stilled the storm, that Jesus fed the 5,000. What can I take out of this scripture? So see these children's Bibles, these devotionals, from this sort of humble standpoint of like, yes, Lord, we're ready. We want you to teach us. It says the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he will remind us of all things that Jesus said. He will lead us into all truth and illuminate the Word of God to us. So I love to have this as a foundation for all things, really teaching my children the Word of God, going into devotionals, and to, on one hand, be very, very open for the Holy Spirit to show me and to discern there is a lie in here, that we should avoid this resource. But on the other hand, being open for resources that might seem more simple or more plain or not as deep, quote unquote, doctrinally. So this was from the book called The Bible Time Nursery Rhyme Book by Emily Hunter. It's a bigger book. There's color pictures as well as black and white in there. There are many, many Bible stories shared in a shorter rhyme way, and then many, many little poetry pieces that talk about the Lord loving us the way we are, based on, let's say, the body is for the Lord. There's one little story here based on that verse about our body, like taking care of our bodies for children. It's lovely. And it's, again, a great reminder for any adult as well. It's a great, great resource. And I highly recommend that one. The next one I want to share is a sort of totally different one. It's called What Every Child Should Know About Prayer by Nancy Guthrie. Not exactly sure how to pronounce that last name. It is actually one of several. I know that that's the only one I own, but I know there is one called What Every Child Should Know About God that I would really like to have one day. This one is What Every Child Should Know About Prayer, and we are using it. That's one of the things I wanted to share with you all today, is that we use this also as a morning devotional. So what we would do is we would read two pages, or basically a chapter, if you would say so. They're quite short, but a topic. We would cover one topic each morning and work through this book that way. So I would really recommend that book. I really appreciated it. So there's many, many details and just background on what prayer is, that why, what is prayer for, that God wants us to talk to Him, and that we can pray anywhere. We can pray about everything. Every page is set up. There are lots of pictures in there, and there's always scripture to every sort of topic. So, for instance, when I open up the page here that's called The Holy Spirit Helps Us Pray. It's the title of this one. There's a short sort of like 6-7 sentence text to read, and then the Bible verse, and then a prayer suggestion. So it's just great. I honestly always think when I go through books like that, where even though I might have heard everything before, I feel like, wow, this book is actually teaching me how to teach my child. If it's a good resource, then the authors really poured out their heart into it, years of experience of teaching children themselves. So when I read how they talk about the Holy Spirit helping us pray, then I learn from reading that. So again, just making room for the Lord to work on all of our hearts during devotional time in our family. So other topics in this book would be, why do we praise God? Okay, we praise God for who He is. We thank God for what He has done. Many, many lovely aspects of what prayer actually is. Great categories, lots of input. What I really like too is examples from the Bible. So one part of the book is titled, God's People Have Always Prayed. And so we learn about Moses, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Mary, and Paul. And again, just a short part, like I want to share with you about Solomon. It says, Solomon knew that he needed God's help to be the kind of king God wanted for his people. So Solomon prayed, 1 Kings 3 verse 9, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. And then it even continues. There's James 1 verse 5 as well. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. I just feel like starting even on this topic of Solomon, prayer life, wisdom, there's so much to talk about this. And you can easily transform it into a bigger session as well. And that's something I've been doing, or I did especially a couple years ago. We did that every morning, actually, that I read a Bible story and my daughter drew a picture. Basically, it's called a narration in the Charlotte Mason home education to narrate either written, orally, or also illustrated. So back then she could not write yet. So I told her, draw a picture of what I was reading to you. And we ended up putting a date on it. And we have all these little cards of Bible stories now that she sort of self-recorded, put into her own words, quote unquote, into her own little drawing. So that's a great way to expand a morning devotional time, or really any day devotional time. Other topics covered in this book called What Every Child Should Know About Prayer would also be the Psalms. There's a lot of chapters on how the Psalms help us enjoy God, love God, thank God, hope in God. So you can imagine there's lots of scripture, lots of examples on how the Psalms give us ideas and content for prayer that we can really learn and take from the Bible. And then, of course, probably the biggest part of the book is named Jesus Teaches Us to Pray. So there was so many ways that Jesus taught us how to pray. Not just how to pray, but also He loved to pray Himself. That's one of the chapters in this part. And that Jesus taught us how to pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. And Jesus teaches us to ask God for what we need. And so all those topics. It's a smaller book. And there's not that much writing on each page. Again, there are illustrations on each page, and I just love it. It would also make a great bedtime devotional, as all the ones I'm going to mention actually would. And it's just a lovely, lovely book that I know people always ask for age recommendations. I'm not that good at giving those, honestly, because I feel like when I say it's for 3 and older, then it sounds like a 2-year-old cannot be there for the reading of it. But, you know, my baby's 1 and I have him sit in, or he's just there for breakfast. He hears it. He might not always seem interested, but he's part of it. But as far as this book, though, What Every Child Should Know About Prayer, I know that a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child will take a lot out of it. But again, for teenagers, it's not going to hurt them to read it. So this is definitely not my favorite part, is to give specific age recommendations, because I just don't want any parent to feel like, oh, I can't read it because my child is 1 year older than that age recommendation. So we read this when my daughter was 6, and again, my baby just 1. Another book that I want to show you, you will see that there's many different sorts of books that I want to introduce to you. This one we read for evening devotional time. It's a series of 2 books that I've shared on my blog, on Instagram and Facebook several times. It's called 50 True Stories of Daring Men of God, and then the other one is called Women of God. So the women edition is called Courageous World Changers, and the men edition with 50 stories of men of God is Brave Heroes and Bold Defenders. The author of both of those books is called Shirley Ray Redmond. And again, I'm going to be linking all these books so that you can look inside. This is one of my absolute favorite things to do, is besides talking about books, I want to look inside the book. So for me, it's my absolute favorite thing to look inside the pages, to see what the illustrations are like, how much text is on one page, and to even read a little bit into it. So that's one of my big things that I like to do on my Instagram and Facebook account, is to show you an inside look of the books. So these books, as I said, they feature each 50 stories. They're not very long. You can read it within 3 to 4 minutes, and again, it could really trigger great conversations. What this is, though, it is not a Bible story, it is not a doctrinal sort of input like on prayer, but it's again a different sort of book to go through. It does talk about women and men who are walking with the Lord and who made some sort of impact. You will see that most of those women you will have heard of. So there's Phyllis Wheatley. There is Ruby Bridges. There is also some that I hadn't heard of. But there are, for instance, Rosa Parks. And what you will see is you will see when they lived, and then you will have a beautiful illustration of that person, and you will read about their life. So, for instance, when we go to the story of one of my favorites, I'm trying to find it right now. Oh, this is very, very lovely. The illustrations are just beautiful. But there's, for instance, Florence Nightingale. You have a little heading too that sort of describes who that was. So for Florence Nightingale, it says, Pioneer of Modern Nursing. And so we read about her childhood, her upbringing, her family background, and we read about sort of how she came to be who she turned out to be. So she lived in the wartime, actually, in Turkey, and so much to learn. So I'm a big history fan. That's why this book really appeals to me. And then, of course, the whole focus of people who were actually believers and who lived with the Lord and their testimony. So let me go to the table of contents. There is, you will also find Elizabeth Elliot in this book, Joan of Arc, Mother Teresa, and then several that I had not heard of before. Bethany Hamilton, the soul surfer lady, I'm very excited about her story. It's very powerful. I love how she's just so passionate about the Lord and encouraging other families who also have children that have, you know, she lost her arm because she had a shark attack happen to her when she was surfing. So now she has this, I believe, a nonprofit organization in which she's trying to support families or children who have gone through similar scenarios. And then the very first story is Corrie ten Boom. Very, very powerful. So she was actually Dutch. And her story, I should probably have a whole podcast episode on that, but just so powerful how she lived out and how she extended forgiveness in this situation that she was in, that she lived through, how she almost died and her family members actually were killed by the Nazis, but still she was able to extend forgiveness. The Hiding Place is her famous book. I know many of you have shared with me on the Fill Your House with Books Instagram and Facebook page that you have read this book and that it's actually one of your favorites. So I'm sure you will appreciate this. So again, Corrie ten Boom, there's also just a little background. It says that she was the youngest of four children in a Dutch family. And it just describes sort of her upbringing. And then what it says in the book as well is, during World War II, Corrie became the organizer of a secret ring of 80 Dutch volunteers who helped Jews escape the Holocaust. So again, this makes my heart so excited to read about true stories. This is not a living book as far as Charlotte Mason's description of a living book, where you travel into a time and sort of find yourselves in another person's shoes and travel and see things through their eyes. This is more of a factual book, but I really do appreciate it. So the way it is written, I find it very enjoyable. And again, I see this more as an additional thing. So I would still really want to read living books and biographic accounts. But this is more, like I said, a devotional book. So I love reading about what they lived in and for our children to see. Okay, so there have always been people, believers all over the world. So in different cultures, different tribes and nations, and what times did they live in? Wow, these people lived through the war. Wow, they upheld their beliefs. They clung to the Lord and they didn't forsake their Christian passion and zeal and, you know, their walk with the Lord. So I find it very, very powerful. This is the one for women. Again, it's called Courageous World Changers. Of course, this is not to say that the one featuring women would not be interesting for boys, or the one about men is not interesting for girls. We read both of those with our daughter, and they are written in a way that it does not matter at all. So I think that's just the way the author decided to, you know, create two separate books. So the second one, called Brave Heroes and Bold Defenders, features again 50 men. And so we have Billy Graham, we have Eric Liddell, we have C.S. Lewis, Jeremy Camp, so also more contemporary people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German, Martin Luther is in here, and George Washington. It will just give you wonderful conversation starters. You could even turn it into an entire study. You could again say, let's draw a picture, or let's open up more books and study more about this person's life. So it's more meant to be like an introduction and an overview and an inspiration. So high recommendation for those. Again, we had the Bible Time Nursery Rhyme Book, which was a lot of poetry and straight up scripture and Bible stories. Then What Every Child Should Know About Prayer, I would consider more of like a doctrinal devotional featuring lots of scripture too. And The True Stories of Daring Men and Women of God, two separate books, I would consider those biographical devotional books. Also very different, but very wonderful in and of itself. I love spreading a feast to our children. So let me share with you one more resource for today. I already see I'm not going to get through my entire stack, so I'm going to have to do another episode on more of those beautiful devotionals. But let me share with you this one book. It actually is also two books. There's a version specifically for girls, specifically for boys. So this is contrary to the one I just shared. This will really... There's one written and addressed to girls, specifically with virtues from Proverbs 31. The author is Elizabeth George. I've had this book. Actually, I was gifted this book for my baby shower. It's called God's Wisdom for Little Girls. And so how it is set up, it's based on Proverbs 31. It can be read in one sitting. It's not that long, but I actually went through it also sort of as like a nighttime devotional. I remember, I think because it's quite short, there's probably like two sentences plus a Bible verse. I think back then when I did that as a nighttime devotional, I would read two qualities or two pages every night and kind of work myself through it, honestly, because it's just powerful truths and you sort of want to ponder it and meditate on it. So Proverbs 31 features different qualities, I guess, that we can define to our children. So for instance, the first one says, God's little girl is priceless. And the verse that corresponds with it is Proverbs 31 verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then it continues with, God's little girl is kind on the next page. God's little girl is eager. God's little girl is helpful. God's little girl is cheerful. God's little girl is busy. And you probably figured, yes, that's Proverbs 31:16. She looks at a field and buys it with money she has earned. She plants a vineyard. What I definitely need to mention immediately is those illustrations are gorgeous. It's my favorite illustration style, that old-fashioned sort of little girl, beautiful setup. I'm a big fan of that sort of illustrating style. There's lots of themes, I would assume like 15. So God's little girl is careful. God's little girl is gracious. So for the word gracious, it says Proverbs 31:26. She speaks wise words and she teaches others to be kind. Let me read to you what is written on this page, additionally to the Bible verse. So on every page, you'll find that description. God's little girl is gracious. You'll find the Bible verse and beautiful illustrations again. And the little rhyme, this is also written in rhyme, which is always wonderful. It says the following. Some folks hurt others by speaking their mind, but God's little girl speaks wisdom, only says what is kind. She calms a hurt soul and heals a sad heart by saying kind words instead of what's smart. So you can probably see there's a lot. If you have a little daughter or son who's similar to mine, she likes to get into conversations about anything and everything. So she would have probably shared some opinion or thought or memory or even asked me something about this little text that I just read. She would maybe say, but wouldn't this be okay to speak your mind? Would this be kind? Or she would say, what is smart? Or she would always like to have conversations whenever we do readings like that. So again, this book is just a starting point. If you feel like there's something you would maybe say differently or add to it, for instance, for me, when I read folks hurt others by speaking their mind, I would want to make sure sort of to communicate to her like it's important that we're honest and to really say what's on our mind, but that the point is like, let's say it in a kind way. Or you can give examples of like, sometimes it might be the same sentence or it might be something truthful, but how do we communicate it? How do we say it? There's a whole evening full of talks when it comes to that. Also very powerful to share in those sorts of vulnerable moments with our children is ways in which we have grown as moms. It is so important. It's like, I'm a young mom, but I have seen and witnessed and experienced myself how important it is that our children know that we as parents fail, that we are flawed, and that we are striving to live according to the word of God, but that we are totally dependent and in need of God's grace and his spirit to work it in us. And even though it is a mystery, so you can't fully wrap your mind around this truth that I just said, but as long as our children see, okay, it's not like I have arrived, so God's big girl, me the mom, I am gracious, and you are the little girl, and you have to still learn how to be gracious. No, that's not the case. God is still teaching me, mommy, to be gracious. And yes, one time I did speak my mind and said it in not a kind way, and that's what happened. Or then I really tried to say it calmly, and really sharing testimonies and making faith real, and making that whole lifestyle of living with the Lord real for them, like it's in their reach. And that I think is also something that happens, that gives room, that gives us room to talk to our children, which is basically to take a whole step back for the bigger picture. This is why reading to our children is so powerful, because there is connection happening, there's conversation happening if we allow it, if we make time for it, if we make room for it. And our children might not, maybe your child is not that talkative and they seem even like uninterested, or they might even say, I don't want to read. Keep on doing it and make it fun. See what makes them feel loved, what they would experience as a fun time. Maybe your children would just like to have, you know, you bake something together and as you drink tea and eat it, you pull out a book and they make happy memories reading. Or maybe your child just has a very hard time sitting still. This is not bad. This is definitely something we can try to grow a habit of attention in them. But at the same time, we should not make our children feel like they're not good at being read to, or they won't catch anything anyways. There's so many studies that have been done about that fidgeting children do, that in many cases it helps them process. So I would just take a step back from all the pictures and pre-assumptions we have of what reading should look like, what the conversations, what the devotionals should look like, because I'm firmly believing that that's why many parents give up on those things in their families, happy meal times or happy anything where they feel like that's what a happy family time, that's what a happy Bible study looks like, and it doesn't. And they feel like, I'm not good enough, I'm failing my children are not acting the way they should, and there's just a lot of frustration and a lot of discouragement. And what it is really the enemy of our souls distracting us from what's the biggest, most important thing, which is our family and running after the Lord. And so what we all need is encouragement and just knowing that God is right there with us, and that we should never strive for perfection. Because what it will do is, I'm reading through that book Homeschool Bravely right now by Jamie Erickson, and I loved what she had to say about perfection. And she was specifically talking about helping a child that's struggling in a specific subject. She was mentioning about teaching her daughter how to read, and she was a struggling reader, and to take a step back and say, okay, it might not be a lot of progress from one day to the next, but look back and see how much progress there has been the last year and how much growth there has been. And I think that's the biggest struggle and discouragement, is feeling like, I'm not getting anything done, I'm not getting anywhere with this habit I'm trying to establish, with this routine, with this rhythm in our family. And maybe our children are actually really much against it and really much fighting it, and not, they don't seem to take anything out of it. Just keep on doing it. Keep on, put it down on paper, and try to also maybe do it one thing at a time, not 10 new rhythms in one school year or in one day or in one week, but try to really focus, pray about what the Lord wants to work in your family. What is it? What is the new routine you want to start? And then be just ready and prepared for like a setback, or that it won't just immediately click with everyone. And just be grateful for the everyday little process you're making. So again, family time, devotional time, it is a process. It is something that we can establish as a rhythm, as a routine, as a habit in our own lives. Because honestly, it's not just our children that are learning and implementing something new on a daily basis or weekly basis. We are learning alongside them. We are desiring to be committed and to be organized and structured in a way. And so we are learning just like they are. And again, if we are firm with it, if we are purposeful, if we are initiative, then a year from now, or I know before that already, but just keep the big picture in mind, we will look back and see progress in this. So I encourage you today, whatever resource it is that you would like to add to your family, I would love to also hear what resources have been blessing you. I'm always, honestly, I really don't just say that. I love when I receive messages from you guys. I get many messages, people recommending books to me that they, you know, they say, oh, I saw that recommendation, have you tried out this one? So some of those books I've heard of before, others I haven't. And I say, thank you, I'm going to put this on my list. other people share, I mean, they ask me questions. Okay, we were reading this. What book would you recommend for this and that? Or I also get lots of more practical questions as far as how can I read when my child doesn't seem to be interested or doesn't seem to be listening. So all those topics I have in the back of my mind. And that's, again, the purpose for me starting this wonderful way of conversating and putting material out there in the form of a podcast. I really love sharing these devotionals with you guys. Before I end today, I wanted to add that the book I introduced last, called God's Wisdom for Little Girls, the one that had those virtues from Proverbs 31, this one also exists for boys, and it's called God's Wisdom for Little Boys, also by Elizabeth George. So I cannot read from this one. I know that the illustrator, I believe, is the same one. Definitely a beautiful resource. Also, of course, all the books that I ever recommend, they make great gifts, wonderful gifts. Books are, as you can probably tell, my favorite gift to give. If you have any more questions about those specific books, I'm always, again, very, very glad to connect with any of you. I'm going to be featuring many more devotionals in the weeks to come. I have another stack here in front of me, but for now, this is going to be the devotionals that I wanted to share with you guys. And be encouraged. Devotional time looks different for every family. I think this is, again, one of the biggest things that has kept me from doing what I actually want to do, is that I thought this is how it should look like. This is what it should be like, and then it didn't, so I got discouraged and maybe put it on hold. Don't do that. Learn from my mistake and just start it and just enjoy your children. Read to them, pour the word of God into them. Also want to make sure that you all know that the word of God is the most powerful book we can ever pick up, we can ever read. So for me, a good book is one that points us to the Word of God, that features lots of scripture, that is written by authors who desire to explain the Bible and teach the Bible, that have that gift of teaching that the New Testament talks about, and that walk in that and live that out and put their teaching on paper and allow us to benefit from it and bless our children with it. So whenever there's good resources, and there are a lot of them, I love recommending them. And just keep in mind, reading the Bible to your children as well as yourself on your own is the most powerful thing you can ever do. It's life-changing, transforming, and the truths of God's word can never be substitute it by any other resource. So seek the Lord today. He is more than willing to show you which way to go. It says, commit your way to the Lord and he will direct your path. And I'm so grateful that the Lord is with us on this parenting journey. He's our encouragement. He is the one that leads us into all truth. And he's the one that helps us be the mom that our children need, be the wife that our husband needs, and just have that vision for our family. So we pray today, Lord, that you would reveal this vision to each and every one of us, that we would know what is the next step to go, to take in our family, and that you would just bless us and help us establish those devotional times in our family. Speak now, Lord, to every mom and every dad listening, and awaken a passion in all of our hearts to teach our children, like it says in Deuteronomy, in the day, in the night, as we walk, as we sit, to just talk and share the testimonies, the wonderful works of the Lord. We love you, God, and I wish you all a blessed day. I can't wait to connect with you all. And if you have been enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to leave a review so more families could find this podcast. And have a blessed day and enjoy your children. Bye-bye.